Welcome back to it. It is Breakfast with Refila. The time has just gone 6:44 a.m. The question we're asking you this morning is hashtag 29 taught me that. That is the trending topic we discussed on the social rundown with Stefan Lombard a little earlier. We're also talking a little bit about how Standard Bank opened its first Joburg branch just this morning, on this particular day in 1886, in a tent, in fact. All things consumer was being banked at that particular time, and they've expanded to be one of the most prolific banks on the continent, with far more like investment banking and asset management and the like. But consumers are the people we care about, just the everyday people like you and me. Lula Makhonqo is in studio with me today. It's Consumer Fridays.
Good morning, Rufile.
Good morning. How are you doing, Lulama?
I am feeling wonderful.
You look it.
Thank you very much. I'm not 29, though, so I don't have any inputs this time.
What do you mean?
What 29 taught me?
Oh, no, 2019. Sorry, I meant to say 2019. I apologize. I didn't realize I got that wrong. All right, so moving on to our consumer stories. Talk to us about spaza shops.
Well, spaza shops are really interesting. I mean, you always think of your mom and pop shops, but the interesting part is that Pick and Pay and ShopRite are joining the game.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I mean, wow. I never thought that would be happening. When I was in the townships, I never thought that would occur.
So in other words, they will be rolling out spaza shops of their own.
Yes, yes. And it's already started happening.
Okay.
I think it started in Soweto. I stand to be corrected, but that's really interesting. You have those small shops. It feels like a small Pick and Pay, nice and clean and everything. But the key thing about these shops is that they're actually cheaper than your normal spaza shops. Because...
How did they manage to do that? No, go ahead, because?
Because actually, they have the buying power already.
Right.
Because they buy from the food producers, so they already have the best negotiating power in the country. And hence, you know, you're getting the same price that you would get if you got on a taxi and went straight into town.
And so they'll be doing everyday low pricing over there,
yeah,
as opposed to sale pricing or promotions. But my question is, if you had opened a ShopRite or a Pick and Pay, I'm not sure which it would be the anchor tenant. Let's say in a Maponya Mall, you're servicing the same clientele. Hmm. Why didn't we just get the lower price in the first place?
Well, no. So I don't mean that food will be cheaper from there.
Uh-huh.
I just basically mean that, you know, if you compare it to a spaza shop next to you.
I'm with you.
Yes. So I was looking at it more from my perspective of when I lived in the township. I remember that, you know, at the end of the month, what you would do is you would go into Maponya, right? And you would go do your monthly grocery shopping. And then your little weekly grocery shoppings, your fresh goods, etc., you would get them at the spaza shop. But you know that you're going to have to pay up because you're not going to get on that taxi to go get that food.
Right.
But now they are actually, you know, they are still cheap relative to the spaza shop.
Correct.
But then...
What does this mean for spaza shop owners?
That's my concern. You know, it's a catch-22. This is positive from the buyer's perspective.
Yes.
At the same time, remember that the spaza shop, you know, that you are used to support is your neighbor.
Right.
You know? So now your neighbor is getting competed out of the market. There's no way that if I've got 20 bucks and I want tomatoes and I've got this grocery list... Listen, I'm going to go find the cheapest tomatoes I can find because my family needs to eat. But at the same time, that means another family doesn't eat if their business goes under.
So what can I do as a spaza shop owner?
See, that's the thing. There are alternatives. There are great buying groups because we already have an informal market.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be as easy as just Pick and Pay and ShopRite going in because there have been structures that are in place. We're very savvy in the townships, I'm telling you.
Well, there was a lack of infrastructure. We came about with it, yes.
Yes. So there are buying groups. You can either join a buying group, so you can also have that same negotiating power, right?
Uh-huh.
Or actually, you can actually partner up with Pick and Pay. So they're sharing the pie.
Okay. They are allowing for the likes of franchisees.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's
so you get the brand sort of strength of, say, a Pick and Pay.
I
know ShopRite doesn't have franchisees, but Pick and Pay could.
Yes.
Does. It used to be, I think, mostly the Boxer stores. And then you have that buying power, you have the brand strength, but at the same time, you have the convenience and you're right near the consumer, and the consumer wins too.
And also at the same time, you have the mentorship from one of the best businesses,
retail operators
in South Africa. So you get to learn. Yeah.
Now talk to me about something that's a little bit less exciting in terms of the stuff we could be buying from this buzzer shop, and that's African swine flu. How is it affecting us?
African swine flu, you would think that it's here in Africa, right?
Yes.
But, you know, African swine flu is happening in China.
I know, it's offensive to me that they call it African swine flu, but
right?
Let's not talk about that.
It's spreading like a wildfire. A few months ago, we thought, this would taper down, but we're finding that it's spreading into regions like South Korea, and the UK is now speaking of it as inevitable. As in, it's going to reach them in 2020, they're predicting.
Just tell us exactly what it means. What is, you know, and how it's different from any other swine flu?
Well, basically, it's specific in pigs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And pork. And it is very contagious. And the thing is, it's very lethal. So your pigs die mm-hmm. really quickly. Immediately when they have it, it's highly likely that you're going, you know, your whole herd is going to have to be culled.
Right.
Yeah.
So how much of that meat do we import here in South Africa?
We import quite a bit of pork.
Yeah.
But it's mainly ribs. So if you like your ribs.
Oh, no. I wanted to watch some rugby with my ribs.
Okay, go to Spur.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting because after the African swine flu became an epidemic.
Yes.
I realized that my ribs at Spur did change. Now, I don't know if that is a result of the look, I've been
a
having
different
my
supplier, maybe.
Yes. I mean, I've been having my birthday parties at Spur since I was a kid until they kicked me out. So I know the consistency of the meat and I know something changed.
Oh, that is hilarious. Okay, so be careful. I mean, we're not trying to say that any of our restaurants or anything are not being careful,
mm-hmm.
but it seems as though it might be a little bit of a potential risk given the fact that there is quite a bit of pork that gets imported here. We need to find out why they're attributing this name to us. It's really weird.
Yeah, I might say though, I'd say if your food is changing at the restaurants, you actually should think that your restaurant is actually being careful and
Correct.
Looking out for you by changing suppliers.
Well, that's good to know. We are also talking about the Hong Kong protests.
Jeez, the Hong Kong protesters are still protesting now. They seem to be quite resilient.
Yes, it's about 4 months now.
Yes, it's been 4 months. And things seem to be getting worse in the sense that the police have become more brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting part to touch on is the fact that companies have also been caught in the crossfire,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And the likes of Apple, for example, having to ban certain apps.
Right.
A company called Activision Blizzard, for people out there who are gamers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a pro gamer who demonstrated that they support the protests,
mm-hmm.
And they got banned, and then their proceeds for winning a game got taken back.
So how will that impact us consumers?
I mean, more from a perspective of we are exporters to China,
right.
So the political turmoil there, you know, impacts the day-to-day business,
of course.
And notwithstanding the fact that we're also having a trade war in the midst of this Hong Kong protest, so if China sneezes, South Africa feels it, and it's mainly because we export. Think
we're
about the mining
buyer.
Industry.
Yeah.
We export our steel, so we're already having issues with job losses in South Africa. So it's something to keep an eye on that could impact our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, just the global economy as well gets
sure.
impacted.
Okay.
If we're worrying about a global recession, if China slows down, they impact the world's
sure.
global GDP.
Particularly commodities exporters.
Yes.
All right. So we're losing our jobs. We're getting swine flu from our ribs. But at least we can buy something good from the spaza shop.
Yes.
Thank you. That's Consumer Fridays with Lama Kongo. Thank you very much.